Hello, my name is Josephine Pembroke. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous. Today I'm talking to a fascinating woman who is a London-based body worker, therapist, healer, and facilitator. She's been practicing for over 25 years, and this book is a culmination of her knowledge and interest in the body. The book is The Healing Power of Pleasure, Seven Medicines for Rediscovering the Innate Joy of Being by Julia Paulette Hollenberry. Hi, Julia. A warm welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello, Josephine. It's lovely to be with you.
Oh, so please, can you tell us how this book can change our lives?
Wow. I hope that it will. In the small, I hope that it will help people to drop out of the stress and the panic and the confusion and to come down much more into contact with their physical body and all of the deliciousness that is in the body.
Now, this is one of the words that I want to pick up on, because you describe the ultimate state as the universe of deliciousness, which is the most beautiful term I've nearly ever heard in my life. Can you tell us, you were just about to go into it, can you describe the universe of deliciousness, please?
My sense is that it's this subtle, sensitive, spiritual, sensual realm that is right here all of the time, if we can bother to notice, to get out of our own way.
To be present, then, is the goal, I suppose, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess, in language, but be present sounds so, be present, but be present is so, it doesn't conjure how delicious that is, right?
Yeah, that sounds quite intellectual, doesn't it? Be present. It's sort of like stopping your mind, but you're talking about body, aren't you, as well?
All of it inside of us and outside of us. And the being present is right. It is, yes. But it is.
So is it sexual?
I would say that everything is sexual. So yes, it's sexual, but it's not only sexual. Our definition of sexuality has become so narrow. I'd say it's sensual and it's erotic and it's relational and it's alchemical and it's arising and unfolding and being and becoming and surprising and informed by incoming information.
Fantastic. So what does deliciousness feel like? What's the feeling level?
For me, it's like a melting, a deliciousness in my mouth or my head or my foot. And it's relaxing and it's delightful and it's pleasing and it's interesting and it's fun. And it's quiet.
Interesting. Would you say that culturally, have we been denied this feeling, do you think?
We are so jolted out of ourselves by everything, right? I mean, all the pressure, all the headlines, all the shocks, all the distractions, all the deadlines, all the pings and blings of our digital devices, it's hard to be here and now. It's hard to notice what's really happening on this delicious, detailed level.
Totally get it. So how do we achieve this state? I mean, obviously this book is all about this. So if you could tell us about the book, because obviously you've tried to, you have achieved it, but, you know, it's obviously hard to kind of, you know, you've analysed it. So the book's laid out in part 1, 2 and 3, Mess, Magic and Medicine. Can we talk about those three chapters first?
Of course. So the mess is the mess that we are all in as individuals. Each of us have our own different problems and issues and health pieces and family pieces and work pieces. And then as a society, as a culture, as a planet, it's obvious that we're in a mess.
Very big mess. Yeah, very big. Yeah. Thing is, we all saw it coming. That was what's amazing. I mean, especially what's happened to the Earth. I mean, incredible thing is that we're animals and we're destroying the Earth, and none of the other animals destroy the Earth. I mean, and we, you know, I just, anyway, that's another talk. But it's
connected, because we don't listen to our own instinctual intelligence, and that is what the book is about. And the if we think animals are unkind or unthinking, but they're not. And if we were more in touch, if you like, with our physical, sensual, instinctual nature, we might make kinder, wiser, more inclusive decisions.
I mean, nearly all the decisions that are ruining the planet are due to greed, obviously, aren't they? Financial greed.
And disconnect and fear, right? Fear.
Yeah. Yeah. And also this whole pandemic's about fear. The internet's full of fear. Yeah.
And when we're afraid, we leave our bodies.
Yeah.
When we're afraid, we try and analyze it, work it out, find a solution from our heads, blame somebody, make a plan for the future, have a strategy. But that means that then we're not in contact with the arising wisdom of the body. And the body knows things that we don't know. Like, our bodies make babies. You and I don't know how to make babies, but our bodies do. That's intelligence far greater than us. And the bodies respond in an immediate moment appropriately if we can listen. And we need to listen.
Yeah, definitely. So mess is the mess. What about magic?
Magic is the beauty that is possible. Magic is the hope. It's the delight. It's the dream, it's the vision, it's the universe of deliciousness. It's what's possible.
Yeah. So what sort of state of mind should you have to kind of even access this book, would you say, Julia?
Oh, I don't know. I'd like to think that anyone can just pick it up and flick through and find a few sentences or paragraphs. To pick it up and access it.
But would you believe you have to have some sort of openness, though, wouldn't you, to believing it can be true, you know, happen to you, you know?
A lot of the book is about taking people on the journey, in a way, from... it's taking them on the journey to open up, right? It's saying that actually we tend to think that things are this way.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, and then I chuck in a couple of perspectives and quotes from wise people and ideas. But actually, do you realise that it's really like this? So I wouldn't like to say you need to be in any particular way in order to read it, but that it will hopefully encourage, you know, you to open and shift and change, that it is it's a journey.
Yeah. Fantastic. And what about, so medicine is obviously the rest of the book, isn't it? It's the ways of doing things, and you also have kind of practices in it, and suggestions, and little sort of rituals we can do to help get into this state.
Yes. The medicine is seven practical spiritual medicines. They're sequential, and you can play around and do them in any order. They're slow body depth, relationship, pleasure, power, and potency. And I don't know what to say. There's so much to say.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's there in the book.
So slow is obviously sort of that word. I mean, it's like, it's luckily the word slow has come recently because of the pandemic. That did bring on a slowness, which we all made a collective sigh and said, this is what we want. We don't want to live like this anymore. You know, I think everybody felt like that. You know?
I don't know. I heard somebody recently describing the lockdowns and saying we'd been in a black hole. And I thought, gosh, I have thoroughly, in some aspects, really enjoyed being at home, discovering the neighbours and the neighbourhood in greater detail, nooks and crannies of my own, and it's not vast, right, but my own little home that I've made more beautiful, or, I mean, loads of stuff. I think many people are really exhausted, and the slowing down is super helpful. Yeah. And we have this idea that going fast is fast, but actually I think often allowing ourselves to pause and to slow down and to have gaps in between things and to rest is often actually the fastest route to productive work, but also to creating beautiful relationships. You know, when we're stressed, we can't behave as elegantly as we can when we're rested. And often the creative ideas come out of the slowing down and the pausing.
Yeah, well, my creative ideas often come when I walk. Because I'm sort of physically involved. So I've sort of let my mind go more.
Yeah, totally. Washing up, gardening, going for a walk.
Yeah.
All of those things are really essential. We're meant to use our hands. We have these physical bodies, and we're meant to use our hands and our legs. We are not meant to sit still for hours on end, staring at one point. I mean, we're just not. So,
So body empowerment, body living in your body, feeling your body, welcoming your body, accepting your body.
All.
Yeah. Anything else? What have I missed?
Noticing it, sensing it, aware of it, liking it, not judging it, liking it, noticing all the sensations, all the feelings in it, all the details of it, really.
What if we have a part that we feel has been brutalized, maybe, you know, in some way? E.g. sex organs or something, you know, through sort of bad relationships or whatever. How could we start healing there, do you think?
Loving, really loving, stroking.
Yeah.
Looking.
So literally stroking ourselves and giving ourselves love.
And kissing ourselves. Wow. Why not? My sister, when she was little, she would spontaneously kiss different parts of her body. And I thought, what wisdom in that.
Lovely. So tune into your body and love it back. Love it back. You know, it wants love. Give it to it yourself.
And notice that you've got a body. I had a boyfriend once, and I have always been interested and passionate about the body. I'd talk about it, and I remember he came back to me after a while and he said, I was in the shower and I noticed I had legs. I mean,
no, that isn't so shocking, because I think so many people, including me, I only started doing yoga 10 years ago. Before that, I was in my head, totally in my head, and I didn't even know how to feel. Now I'm sitting here, now I'm thinking about my feet, I'm thinking about all the pressure points touching, you know, where I'm sitting all the time. So I'm grounding myself. But I think most people don't even know how to ground, you know.
And it's with no blame. Again, we live
No blame. It's just the way.
Totally pulling us out.
Yeah, it's totally just the way that we've developed as humans.
Which is why it's so important to realise that we can come back to our bodies and to have practical practices, whatever they are, yoga, tai chi, swimming, bicycling, you know, there's a multitude of them, right? But it is an active choice, because we're in a culture that is constantly distracting us and overstimulating us and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
We have to actively choose again and again to come back to our bodies, again and again to ground, again to remember to notice our feet in contact with the ground and our bottoms in contact with the ground. And in this moment, I can feel the wire of my microphone against my hand, and just noticing that small sensual detail. So it's coming back again and again to the body.
Which
is our home. It's where our lives are lived. It's where reality is.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really like that one, where reality is. Very, very good. Okay, this is a massive one, relationships. Where the hell do we begin on this one?
So just in my seven medicines, there's slow body depth in between. And
oh, sorry, depth, yes.
No worries, cool, it's all good.
It's all here, I just missed it because I'm not you. What about depth then? Depth
is deepening to realise that there is so much more going on beneath the surface than we usually realise.
Okay.
And there are many examples and ways of seeing that. And that is a shift. That is the shift to opening up, to realising that we humans are not... we don't know everything. We're not in control. It's not the way that we think it is. There is literally so very much more going on. And opening up to being aware of that brings humility. And
is this more spiritual, would you think, the depth?
Well, in the book, I describe lots of physical examples of it. Mm-hmm. In biology and neurology and astrology and... So it's both physical, literally in the way that our world and universe is built.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also spiritual, as in it brings us the humility. And it's the humility that we need in a way to really connect with other people, which is the next medicine of relationships.
So we should be more humble, should we?
I'm really hesitant of saying should, because of course, when we say should, we're back in our heads telling ourselves what we ought to do and what we've got wrong and how we ought to be, and
be
trapped.
Yeah.
Because, and that's the thing with some of the spiritual ideas, is you can say all the most beautiful things, but if we're shoulding, and it's hard to be them because we are imperfect and messy and all of the things, right? All of the things that we all are.
Mm-hmm. No, I really, that's amazing. So now we're on to relationships. So, which are, I think relationships must be the hardest thing that we do in the world, you know, because they're not us, but they are us.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So are they a reflection of us?
It's hard to see others clearly.
Okay.
Isn't it?
Mm.
And it's hard to be kind and respectful and generous of others if we can't be kind and respectful and clear seeing and generous with ourselves. I mean, everything is within relationship. Relationship is the most natural thing. You say it's the hardest thing. Yes, it's the thing we struggle the most with, but it's also the most natural thing. We're born out of relationship. We grow up in relationship. Without relationship, we don't survive. And we all yearn for relationships of all different kinds. We need them, all different kinds. Friendships, satisfying work relationships, intimacy, obviously, children, parents, but also with our neighbours and the people in the community and our pets and plants and insects. I know somebody who befriended a spider. Her husband discovered a spider in the wing mirror of his car, and it literally changed his life. Instead of clearing the web of this spider away as an annoyance every morning, he befriended the spider. And this...
How did the spider not go when he was going fast? And how did he stay in the... Or it stay in the web?
I don't know.
Sorry, I'm asking.
I don't know.
I will always save a spider. I think spiders are wonderful.
Absolutely. And we save lots of worms.
The only thing I will admit, I do kill one thing, and that's mosquitoes. I'm really sorry. It's the only thing But I try and save everything else.
Yeah. Right. We in summer we spit on the earthworms so that they're not too dry and put them back on the earth.
Oh.
And then after it's rained in winter, when everybody's walking down the pavement and there's a risk that an earthworm might be trodden on, we pick them up and carefully put them in somebody's garden.
Lovely.
All the creatures matter. We used to carry honey around to save the bees when they're drowsy and need an extra bit of energy.
Lovely, lovely. No, I, because we are them, they are us, you know, we're all together on this planet. Let's relate and be kind to each other. Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe kindness is, you know, the basis of the relationship, isn't it? The generosity. If we're generous to ants and spiders, we can be generous to humans. I think it's so easy not to be generous to humans because they annoy us more in a sort of intellectual level, or, you know, or emotional level, or they cut you off, or, you know, but we've got to forgive them, haven't we? We've got to forgive them all. Yeah, and let them be. It's a very good, it's ringing massive bells for me. Okay, now, pleasure. Oh, my favourite word in the world. I mean, I just love pleasure. I love every sort of pleasure. Tell me how I can have more.
Well, I'm noticing how you're touching your hair as you're describing.
Interesting.
So pleasure is exactly that. Exactly. That simple. It's not just one thing. It's it's in our ears and our faces and our hair and our chest, and it's everywhere. It's not just in specific parts of our body. It's in our hands and our forearms, and, you know, every little bit that I could name or touch. And pleasure's kind of like this alchemy that arises in the meeting, in the relationship. It arises out of the relationship. It is the deliciousness that arises out of the relationship when we're really seen or heard or touched in the right way.
Is this tantric then, a slowing down and touching?
I mean, everything's tantric.
Okay.
In Tantra, it includes everything, right? And we'll talk about how the food wants to be consumed as much as we want to consume the food.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. And the flower wants to be adored as much as, and the, we want to see its beauty, and, you know, it's a kind of relationship between us all.
Absolutely. Yeah. We walk down the street and we acknowledge the flowers. Some have their fragrance, some have their colours, some have their shapes. They're all sitting there offering their beauty into the world. And we as humans, we're sitting here offering our love into the world. And we all really, really want to be seen. We really want to be seen.
Yeah.
And the pleasure arises in our willingness to receive.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So we can receive from everything on the earth then, can't we?
Super cool. Yes. We can.
Okay, now after pleasure, the word power, which is quite a frightening kind of word to me, because, you know, it does bring up sort of like people trying to have power over you, maybe. But this is personal empowerment, I believe. Yeah,
it's the opposite of domination, and I must win at the expense of somebody else. So it's not about competition, but cooperation. It is about being genuine and authentic and true to oneself. And also being bold and clear, and that's where our power lies, in differentiating, finding where is the edges of, if you like, all of the things that we've just moved through. Within that, we find our power. our power, our wisdom.
But we mustn't use our power, though, to kind of take over people, must we?
Well, or sometimes it's fun, right, to be powerful with other people. Yeah. But to be cruel?
Yeah.
No. And when we are, I think it leaves a horrid taste in the mouth. It doesn't really feel good.
No. No. It's the opposite of deliciousness. It's it's cruelty. Yeah.
There's a diminishment and we feel it. Like inside, we feel that it's off and don't really feel empowered. We feel, yes, we've won the battle, but maybe lost the war kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. And how would anyone get their personal power if they're feeling quite powerless in their lives presently? What's a good one?
Well, I like to think going through these steps of slow body depth, relationship, pleasure, open somebody to be ready to claim, express, feel, articulate, act upon their genuine arising powerfulness. And the power is not from the mind. It's not ideas of I'm better than you. It's low in the body, like the big bones are low in the body. It's in the pelvis. Yeah. It's in the belly. Is
first
the
chakra
root.
Or the second chakra, or just that area particularly? Yeah, all of it. Yeah.
It's in the base of our body, where we sit, that is our foundation, our root, our groundedness. Our power arises, if you like, from there, but not only from there.
Very interesting. Okay, now potency, the last word. This sounds to me, potency sounds like something to do with magic. It sounds like potion, I suppose, that's what.
In the end, it's about kindness, actually.
Oh.
You could say that that is a magic potion. It's about cultivating a kind of neutrality so that you're neither too much to the left nor too much to the right, or too withdrawn or too outward. It's about cultivating balance, and there are many different ways to do it. I think I list a whole bunch of integrative technologies to come into that personal neutral midline, if you like.
And it's similar to kind of Buddhism, you know, in the way that they take the middle road, you know. Do you see its similarity?
I guess when I was writing, I knew what the first six medicines were really clearly. But then when it came to the seventh, I really had to find it. I didn't know what it was. And I went on quite a big journey with it, really. And in the end, it is, I suppose, the equanimity, the calmness, the kindness.
And also being able to stand back. If you're calm, you can stand back. You're not rushing into it, or you're not, you know, cowering from it.
I was listening to this podcast recently, and it described what happens in the brain of meditators, and certainly people who are advanced meditators. And it spoke about how the fear areas of the brain are really calmed. There's something about finding the middle way in everything, in our bodies, with other people.
Being as well. When you said that, the middle, I'm thinking of sort of the center, you know, the sort of solar plexus, the kind of everything comes from there, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like the middle of everything. Everything's the middle of a star, the middle of a flower, the middle of a, you know, it's all centered, isn't it? And that's what we're finding as a sort of middleness. Sorry. That's what I'm trying to. Does that make sense to you, Julia?
It's lovely, and we're both smiling. It's lovely.
Yeah.
And yes, out of so, that.
Yeah, it's it, you can shine from it. Yeah, the rays can come. Yeah, out. Yeah,
our unique potential, each one of us.
I'm really feeling it massively. Yeah. So, is that joy? It feels like it to me. I feel like I'm feeling it at the moment. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess joy can be found in the simplicity of everything, right?
It's wonderful, yeah. It's wonderful. It's letting it happen to you as well.
Right, and being with yourself while it does, not abandoning yourself, not you, me, us, all of us. I guess that all of this stuff that I've written about and all of this stuff in the end is really simple, right? You know, when you hear great teachers and you go, aha, and like, I kind of knew that all along and I'm glad that they reminded me of it. And somehow the real truths are really simple. They're not complicated.
Yes. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the sun is sort of the answer to everything. You know what I mean? It's like, that is joy. That is light. That is, you know. And if we all become suns, and we are suns, then we are, you know, with a bit of moon thrown in to reflect. But it's like, just be it, you know.
And wouldn't the world be amazing if we could all just be it? And instead of dumping on the next person, right? Because really we're frustrated about four things that happened, you know, 5 days ago. What if we could all be shining, be kind, be genuine, be filled up with the pleasure of life, be filled up with enough good, authentic human contact that we really feel seen and heard. If we could all really be taking good care of our bodies, if we could really, you know, if we could all shine out.
It's what we're born to do.
And it wouldn't be perfect, you know, there'd be mistakes in it and there'd be, you know,
human foibles. We are humans, so we are, things go wrong. Accidents happen, you know. Human feelings can overtake, you know. And also, if something big happens to you, then you will, you know, there will be power problems or, you know, you will lose your sense of self, you know, through, you know, tragedy or drama happening to you.
I don't think there's a state that is undisturbable. You know, I think everything changes. Nature's always changing. Life is always changing. We're always changing.
But there's always the sun.
Exactly. And when we can allow it to be like that, imperfect, uncomfortable sometimes, difficult sometimes, then we have our way of accessing the joy and the happiness and the pleasure, because we're not expecting it to be all airbrushed perfection and all constant static the same.
Yeah. And also, it's if we accept, acceptance obviously is a massive word, isn't it? We accept what's happening instead of fighting it. Like even last night, I just had one of those nights when I woke up at 2 a.m. I thought, that's a bit weird, and then I didn't sleep that well, and I was sort of beating myself up about it. And now I think I should have just laid there and just said, I accept this. Whatever's happening, this is meant to happen, and I'm just going to lie here. You know, I mean, that's what it is. It's kind of going with the flow, isn't it?
There are silver linings inside, to the side of, behind, underneath, on top of everything. And I guess it's our task to find it. And, you know, I've lived through loads of really difficult stuff. We all have.
We all have.
And we all know that we come through the stuff and we have found wisdoms and we have found experiences or people that we didn't have before. And I want to say something like, yeah, we might have more lines on our face or we might have more baggy bits. Like, it doesn't look perfect necessarily on the surface, but it's like full-bodied living, full experience living, allowing it to be imperfect because it's always imperfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, I've got one last question to you because you did mention teachers. And obviously, you've been doing, you know, your amazing... Oh, no, first of all, just one thing. When was the moment you found out that you knew you were a healer in your life?
Oh. Well, my mum was a healer, so I used to help her as she worked with her clients from home. I don't know.
You knew that was normal. Being a healer was normal. It was like, it's, I got one in my home, my mum's one.
Yeah, and I remember when I was little having a dance. It was springtime and it was raining and it was sunshining. And I remember doing this wild dance. It was only very small, and I did this wild dance and I made the sun come out, and I did more dance and I made the rain come out. And that sense of realness
that came at that moment,
and even if I say to other people that story and they said, oh, you know, don't talk nonsense, that realness of that real contact with things, the real engagement with things, I think we're all
yeah, because you were with nature and we are nature. Yeah, you melded into nature. Yeah, yeah. Or you became nature. Or, you know what I mean? It was a joining of both, you know, made amazing thing. Right, now, so, sorry, I can go on and on trying to describe, and it is a feeling, obviously. So, as I imagine you've had many teachers, and I know this is really hard for me to ask, but who was the greatest inspiration for this book? That would be a good one, instead of saying in life. Who did you keep coming back to?
I kept coming back to myself. Oh, I always knew that I would write a book.
Fabulous.
And I've always had a sense of, if you like, the message of it. So yes, I have had the privilege of sitting with and learning and studying with many teachers, and I'm grateful for all the teachings. But when I wrote from my heart. I wrote from what my heart knows and wants to share. I wrote from a sense of ancient connections and relationships and ways of being that we can remember again and will be good for us. Something wonderful like that.
Yeah, fantastic. So The Healing Power of Pleasure, Seven Medicines for Rediscovering the Innate Joy of Being by Julia Paulette Hollenbury is published by Findhorn Guest. Thank you so, so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous today.
How gorgeous. Thank you, Josephine.
Keep having pleasure, my darling.
You too. All of us.
Yeah.